Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 348. My name is Kevin DeFrango, and with me this week, I have two persons. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Well, I was going to say the man with the bald head, but that's both of you, so.
Well, I'm the guy with the bald head, and I still have facial hair, so this would be Jeremy. Hello, everybody. Easily recognizable because of my facial hair.
And hello, I am the bald guy that doesn't look like a member of the Bullet Club because I do not have my facial hair.
Yeah, that's the reason. Isn't this where we're supposed to plug? We're also the We Watch Stuff podcast.
Yeah, we may as well get that out of the way right now. I mean, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, so he and I do the We Watch Stuff podcast on Stunt Granny, where we just talk about shit, basically. Stuff we watch, get it?
Yeah, that's it, check it out.
That's another one, just like when you're talking about Snowfort, not believing that beer name isn't out there somewhere. When you said that there wasn't a show called We Watch Stuff, I was like, really?
Yeah, I was surprised too.
That just seems like a logical place to go.
Hey, we still have that legal stuff, right? I've never copyrighted that show. That show name.
As far as I know, we still have it. I had a call into them yesterday. They did not call back. I'm going to call them again tomorrow.
That's pretty bad if that's my first reaction.
Yeah, because it's actually going to be less expensive to maintain the site as not a business than it is. It's just a website.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, maybe TNA can take pointers.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest. Can we, like, right as we started, I even said, can we just talk about the negative part first and then get into the good stuff for a change? That'd be nice.
Well, we were talking about bad financing for the very site that we run, so, you know, I think that works with talking about TNA.
Well, if we could just find an investor that doesn't want more than 50% of the company, I'd sell in a heartbeat. But, you know, being reasonable, other businesses that want to make money want a controlling interest in a failing product.
It's funny how that happens.
Yeah. Well, I was telling Kevin earlier, like, you know, this is something, I can't remember exactly the conversation, but this should have happened a long time ago, right? I mean, they've been in a free fall seemingly for 5 years. And I want to avoid the whole bashing TNA thing, but they haven't gained in popularity. Quite the opposite. And their show's not even pulling 350,000 a week. And they have more coverage now being on Pop TV somehow.
Yeah, like, I actually get Pop, surprisingly. But I'm sure we've had this conversation, like you said, for 5 years, ever since they were struggling at Spike, like, will Spike keep it because they had money with Bellator? And then it was on Destination America, and we had the same conversation, will Destination America keep it, even though they only have about five shows themselves? And yeah, I pulled one out for James Storm because... Yeah, I wonder if he's rethinking that decision he made.
He definitely needs to be rethinking that, and I've got to be rethinking whether or not we lost Jeremy Mays.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Your video went down,
yeah,
so it's
going out, and also is that dog.
Yeah, no, I took the video out because I was starting to get a breakup on the other end, so I thought, you know, maybe the video's causing it, so I just killed it, so... Okay. You know, if you want to see me, that's great. But
threw me off there for a moment.
And
I think I've mentioned this previously. Like, I realized at some juncture that that I did get Pop TV because when I looked at the channel guide online, it said that I didn't have it. But then I was just flipping through to find something else, and I saw it on there. I was like, oh. And I haven't gone back to watching. Like, I'm so much happier without that show in my life. Like, it was not good
for a while. That's fair, yeah.
I mean, because at some juncture, because I was making the joke of which was worse, ROH or TNA, but really, ROH has been pretty good or at least solid for about 2 years now. So it's not even a contest at this point.
Well, Sinclair finally bought lights for Ring of Honor, so that kind of helps the product, too. It's, I don't know if you guys, not to go into Ring of Honor, but that show was so brightly lit now, it's almost off-putting. Even though it is professional now, or more professional looking, it looks as if they don't know what they're doing. Before it was so dark, you're like, oh, okay, it's kind of an underground promotion, and now it's so bright, it's like, oh, I can see everything. But anyways.
Well, it's probably just because all the venues they go to stink on wheels.
Yeah, and I think the bigger thing with both is just the rise of NXT kind of made, well, TNA definitely, to a small extent, ROH kind of redundant. And you go in and it's like, they show, like, you know, even though it has the big budget of WWE behind it, it's showing, like, you know, this is what a minor league promotion can look like and still look, you know, semi-professional. And then you turn to that trick that's on Pop TV, and it's like, this is, you know, sixth grade theater. Like, my mom watching Matt Hardy throw, like, kudos to Matt Hardy's wife for investing her money in a new chest, but I don't need to hear Matt Hardy talk for 20 minutes about how he's a big deal, he can afford grapes, because the Hardy is a big name in wrestling. Like, thanks but no thanks.
Yeah, that was kind of funny because I told Kevin, I think I told you that Matt Hardy was on my flight back from Dallas. And we're waiting on baggage claim. And I didn't know he was on the flight. I knew Sergeant Slaughter was. I knew D'Angelo Williams was. I had no idea Matt and Rebby were on the flight. So we're standing at baggage claim, and I look over, and there's just some plain-looking dude with a hat on. And I look, I'm like, I think that's Matt Hardy. And then you saw Reb Sky, who looks completely different than she does on TV. That was kind of not strange, but like kind of like peel back to business, I guess.
Power of makeup.
Yes, power of makeup and hair. And then the thing that did it for me was they had a baby with them. I'm like, oh, that's definitely them. And then of course, some yokel comes by. He's like, Matt Hardy? He's like, yeah, man, yeah. So, that was that situation, but then on TV, he's talking about how he's a big deal and the Hardy name and all this. No, there was two people that recognized him. One didn't really know if he was going to know all the nasty shit he'd said about him in the past, and then the other guy said, hey, you're Matt Hardy?
So, yeah, I could just imagine, hey, Matt Hardy, you know, I talked about your brother Jeff burning down the house and killing the dog. Did you hear about that?
That was nothing compared to some of the stuff we used to write about back in our more brash days. Those days are behind us. So,
is it brash if it's, you know, warranted?
I think it got to the point where do you guys remember when they had that video of they were doing like the Hardy Show or something, and they had tasers and they actually. It was Matt tasing Rebby Sky.
Oh, yes.
And
I do
wrote,
remember that.
Okay. I wrote a post about it going, look at what this dipshit is doing. And I posted it, and not more than 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes after that, he went on Twitter saying, I can't believe people would complain about this, and they took it down. So, to this day, I still think I had something to do with it, which... You know, I don't care, but yeah. So that was, and I think I'm blocked from following him. So,
oh, I'm sure that's a tough life to live.
Yeah, it sounds like you're winning in that, Jeremy.
Well, we got blocked. Stunk Granny got blocked by Goldust.
Oh, they just keep coming.
Yeah. Well, that was a couple years ago, and I still to this day have no idea why. I don't think we've even talked about Goldust in the history of the show.
I'm sure he's gone mentioned, especially with the Golden Truth segments here recently. Yeah. But honestly,
that's the exact reaction I should have got.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's not like we shit on it or anything. We're just like, whatever, it existed.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of entertaining at first, but then it became not entertaining anymore.
Well, much like the bad comedy skits. But before we get, since we're already off the tracks.
Huh? Never happens.
The TNA stuff, though, I mean.
They're off the rails themselves, sir.
Yes, but they're moving into a warehouse. They're moving out of their established headquarters for the last 10 years, moving into the merchandise warehouse. I mean, this is serious business or a serious problem. And I know, I agree with Shahid talking about how NXT's kind of taken over. And to show, like, NXT's not, it's a WWE-produced product, but it's not a WWE, I guess not influenced. I don't know what word I'm looking for. Like, TNA's trying to be WWE light without providing anything different. Where NXT is considerably different from watching Raw and SmackDown. And it's the same company.
Yeah, they didn't go as far overboard as, let's say Lucha Underground. But it does definitely have a different vibe than like you said, TNA. Like, TNA just comes off as a bad knockoff of the WWE.
Yeah, it always has.
Yeah, it's something to be said about, like, kind of staying in your lane. Like, I make a joke about NXT. It's like, NXT is what ECW could have been if it was successful. Like, as you know, it's that indie vibe without the blood and nonsense. You can get somebody from all over the world. It's the fact that, you know, we're getting a cruiserweight tournament with there are other minor league companies. And then it's like, you know, TNA is like, okay, they got a goofy brain. They got people I might have saw, you know, at WWE 6-7 years ago in front of 400 people. Like, it's minor league, but it's pretending to be big time. And that's worse than just being minor league. At least RH knows it's not WWE. And it's not trying to be. TNA is trying to be, like, I don't know, just WWE or WCW light, but it's just garbage. And I know I'm never the one to say that your company should go out of business because competition is always good, but TNA ain't competition. So it can die death and let these people go and do something else.
Yeah, TNA's not even a competition on the indie scene because they have all the wrestlers, they record, 4 weeks of TV in 4 days, and then these guys go wherever else they want as long as it's not televised. Well, that's not much of a competition. I mean, it's like, all right, cool, I'm going to go to Japan for the next month, do whatever I want. I can do a swing in the Ring of Honor on house shows, make some money. Yeah, I know that they offer guys these, they're guaranteed deals. Like, James Storm apparently has a guaranteed deal. Well, if your company doesn't have money, I don't know how the hell you're going to get guaranteed money out of them. So, I'm with you, though, man. Them going out of business isn't good, though. And I know they only got, you know, four days a month that they record, you know, their TVs, but you still have television clearance. You know, you still have 350,000 supposedly different people or different households, I guess, watching this. And now that's probably going to be gone. Does anyone think that this is actually not going to turn out to where they're out of business by August at least?
I'd never put a timeline on it because every time I've thought that it's going down, it hasn't gone down. It does honestly seem to be at its worst place just because it's on a network that, even though it kind of reaches a lot of people, I just can't. Nobody that I talked to about Pop knew what the hell I was talking about.
Wasn't that the case when they first announced it? I was like, "What's Pop? Doesn't Pop TV sound like a kids' network?"
Yeah, it sounds like something that would show, like, you know, 90s Nickelodeon reruns. Like, I've never heard of Pop before, and it doesn't. What does Pop symbolize? Like, pop culture, pop music, soda. Like, it makes no. Yeah. Like, that's a stupid name for a network, and well, TNA is a stupid name for a wrestling group anyway. So. Kudos.
Yeah. I actually forgot, as we're recording this, isn't TNA on right now?
Yes, it is.
Isn't that another problem? We're doing a wrestling show, and I don't think one of us knew that this was actually on tonight.
Oh, I just knew because it's over recording the change to it, but I'm like, I'm not watching this crap, so.
Here's Shane Helms in a lime green jacket with some guy.
Yeah, I'll think about maybe turning it on after I get done watching soccer highlights.
Yeah, soccer highlights from games that happened over 2 weeks ago, probably.
This weekend.
Okay, well, that's good.
It'd still be more recent than what happened in TNA.
Oh, wow, okay.
I'll tell you what, I'm not going to get distracted by this, that's for sure. Well, they cut down, Zima Ion, right?
Yes.
He cut his hair down. That's pretty stupid. All right. Anyways. So what happens? All right. So what happens if TNA goes out of business, or is this just one of those conversations that has to happen when it actually does go out of business?
I just think people will go their various companies. No, like it's some spots open. I'm sure it might be one or two that go to Lucha Underground, a few that can work, maybe go to New Japan, ROH. If WWE wants somebody that they haven't gotten before, I guess they get a few. Everybody else will see in, you know, Eastern Carolina Championship Wrestling with a photo from 2004.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to think that everyone that the WWE was thinking about stealing has either at this juncture left or gone over there. I mean, James Storm really is the only guy that was dumb enough not to go with the WWE. Like, everybody else that was and how can we not bring this up talking about burying TNA? Jeremy, you linked me to Sam Roberts' podcast with AJ Styles. Man. Oh my god, like, he said that he didn't shed a tear leaving TNA, but he had a really tough time leaving New Japan. And
no, he said he didn't shed one tear. Like, and they didn't even ask. Like, they didn't even ask him anything about TNA. He purposely brought it up, what, twice?
Well, he gave them a few backhanded compliments, so I would say three or four times.
And this is the guy that was like, probably should have been the face of TNA. And, yeah, having him goof on is like, he mentioned one, how professional they are in WWE.
They were just kind of, some of them were subtle like that, where he didn't bring their name up, but it was just like, oh, just the way things are run, it's so much different.
The big one, though, was when he saw Sting. And he goes, I just made eye contact with Sting and looked at him and said, isn't it so much better here? Like, Jesus, dude. I mean, it just seems so unnecessary, true or not.
I mean, are we, like, that surprised? Like, we heard stuff, you know, I didn't get paid, they didn't pay my medical bills, they wouldn't feed me. Christian and Booker T used to make jokes saying, people run to the airport like, oh, I'm glad you're back in WWE. And, you know, it's like, did you retire? Like, no, like, I wrestled in TNA for 4 years. You weren't torn? Like, you know, comments like that. So, yeah, I'm sure you guys brought up James Storm. If he ever had a second chance to go, I can just imagine him going to NXT and just looking Bobby Roode in the eye and like, really?
Well, the WWE does have a habit of just importing feuds from other companies and using them as their own, and usually making them even better. So I could see the WWE still bringing him in.
Because that'd be a feud right there. Basically, he was in NXT. He goes back to TNA, basically to rejoin Bear Money, and then a month later, Bobby Roode leaves. He quits and goes to NXT. Like, I know that had been an awkward, you know, I'm sure that it was some angry Skype calls.
but then, yeah, I mean, I don't disagree, but at the same time, it's you know, you gotta take care of your, you gotta take care of your family. That'll be, that's always what the wrestlers say, right? So, yeah, I need to get out of here because someone put a word into my agent or a bug in somebody's ear that got back to me saying, you're gonna make more money just by signing with NXT. So, and James Storm would just be mad because he had the same deal and blew it. Yeah, but yeah, I can't remember which one of you guys said it, but there's not a lot of guys in TNA that they want. That I can't imagine they'd want. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Bennett had a chance. EC3 had a chance. Some of those guys, I mean, there isn't a guy that left. Oh, I should re-qualify that just to be straight here. Doc Gallows, like many of people who have had a nice tour in Japan, has improved. Although I thought he was good, really, to start with. But
he was great in Aces and Eights.
For the most part in TNA, everyone who we're like, man, the WWE really fucked up. They're going to prove them wrong in TNA. And then, like, no one ever rose above the garbage that was happening there.
Yeah. Like, the ones who actually... Yeah, like, the only one that really improved was Terry Terrell, and who saw that coming? Like, it's probably ironic, like, you know, the most improved wrestler that used to be a WWE alumni was a woman that almost never wrestled in WWE.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have a hard time disagreeing with that one. I really did enjoy her work in TNA. Mm-hmm.
And the other one that's got to kind of be maybe kicking herself, but at the time it was justified, it's got to be Gail Kim. Because the way she left WWE, which at the time, I mean, it really was warranted. Women's wrestling was garbage there. But eliminating herself from a battle royal... and then basically quitting on the company that night, they don't need her. So now there really is no step back for her.
Yeah. There's always been a blind spot with her in WWE. Like, I don't know if you heard the story. I heard from somebody else saying when she first came, like, Vince had to be convinced to sell her. And I think John Laurinaitis is like, you know, at the very least, a lot, you know, it's a lot of Asian porn.
No, that was Jim Ross.
Or Jim Ross, I remember what it was. Like, that's how you sold Gail Kim to Vince McMahon. These other people watch Asian porn, so they'll watch her.
Have a conversation at work and use that as, like, the qualification for your job. Like, that's what you need to say? And your boss doesn't look at you funny?
Well, you gotta remember, like, Michael P.S.A. just walk around in his business wears probably stuff that a pig wouldn't wear.
Yeah, yeah. real quick, did either of you listen to the Freebirds on Jericho?
I have not yet.
That was one of the funnest ones that he's done, because he just let them talk. And they were talking about Jimmy Garvin used to pilot around the boys on basically, I think it was Crockett or whoever was paying for it. They paid for the plane so that he could get his miles as a pilot, because he's a pilot now. Well, he said, you know, all the boys liked flying with him because, you know, who's he going to stooge out? He's doing this for free. Well, they were talking, and they changed the person's name, but they were talking about somebody wouldn't get on the plane, and they were too busy doing something. And Jimmy Garvin's like, I have to fire these engines up so that the plane is safe to take off. They, you know, check proper engine check. And this person's doing their business outside. So as soon as I fire up the engine, you know, I warned him, I fired up the engine and it basically started snowing outside. He said the guy, whoever it was getting on the plane, basically wiping his face off and licking his fingers. And then purposely, like, trying to lick as much as he could off of his face. And I'm like, they're telling cocaine stories on, it's not a WWE-sanctioned podcast, but still, these are Hall of Famers talking about drugs and booze they used to do. I was like, have they written a book?
I would love to read. It's a shame they talk about Nikita Koloff's business like that, but... at least they didn't mention his name. Like
is that what they were talking about?
No, I'm just making that joke.
No, and Jericho's just laughing the whole time. Because I don't know. Maybe those guys didn't get quite as wild. I can't imagine, but I don't know. I don't even worry how it got to that. But yeah, that was great. And I don't know. Maybe TNA could have used some stuff like that. Because now they have Jeff Hardy on with half his face painted. And I.
Yeah, Jeff Hardy and drugs in TNA. We've seen that story before. So, I'll let that one be.
Well, he seemingly cleaned himself up, and so does Matt, so good for them. In all seriousness, good for them. But, okay. And now he's just Callaway, and I don't know, man.
We talk about TNA enough, because, like, TNA, yeah, and we've had this conversation about TNA more than once, and maybe a year from now, we'll do about the life and times, like, the best of TNA, but unlikely. Or went out for Monty Brown, and let's keep it moving.
Whatever happened to that guy?
He left WWE to take care of some family business. I think his sister, somebody was sick, and he already had like a gym, like he owned a gym, or he's like a fitness trainer. Like he already had income anyway, so he really didn't need wrestling to make money. So he left and never came back.
Okay. Well, hey, as long as he's on his feet, that's good. So, no shame in getting out of the business if you're landing on your feet. So.
No, Trish Stratus is certainly one of those people that got out of the business and is doing okay for herself.
Yeah, yeah. That's always good to see. It's just better than the guys leaving and crashing and burning, you know? And
then, like the Rock and Roll Express. I only thought about that because I remember watching Raw from like 97, 98, and Jim Cornette coming out with them, and this was 98. And they were just looking so ragged and old. I'm like, this is just so damn sad. And this was, what, 18 years ago? And they're probably still wrestling.
Yeah. All right. Can we just talk about WWE? Let's get to something nice. Because just that picture, like every time you see those pictures of Robert Gibson and Ricky Morton now, it's just so sad. I never really liked them. I was always a Midnight Express guy anyways. But even I can recognize when it's sad. Like Marty Jannetty.
Let's talk about positive stuff, like you said.
Yeah, let's do the positive stuff then. Please.
Do I have to take McGonagall out?
Yes.
But then my steps are going to, but it's not going to calculate my steps then.
I'll plug it back in.
I don't know what's going to happen if it doesn't calculate the steps, though.
Oh, that's true. I only have one dot.
That was the freakiest thing that's ever happened on this show.
Yeah.
I had no idea where that was coming from.
Yep. We can ask her about the near excellence.
Oh, wait. No, I have three dots.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have to charge it yet. I'll just take it to work and do it. That way I can get the steps up to the bedroom.
Okay.
Score. Oh, yeah.
Get those steps in,
Kevin.
Man.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. Apparently, Kevin's got something to do. So.
Yeah, I've got some steps that I need to put in. I didn't do enough at the gym, evidently, tonight.
I haven't calculated. You want to know how many I have?
All right. So the positive news is Kevin's going to go get on his stair climber later. And then, after last week's Raw after WrestleMania, at least they were back in front of a normal, quiet LA crowd like usual. And they actually got him to pop because the show was pretty good this week, right?
It was surprisingly good. Like, even the things that you thought were falling around his face, like the stuff with Dr. Phil, was not that bad. You know, like, it was everything served a purpose on that show, even the small things. And it was just, even the weird stuff. And I do have to laugh, though. Like, you talk about the show was funny because it made sense, even though it's predicated on the fact that Shane McMahon's in charge. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, they, so basically that WrestleMania match was just to have a match for us to be entertained because the stakes, it'd be squat.
Yeah, well, I was listening to the Observer Radio, and Brian Alvarez correctly pointed out that match, like, the, everything happened the opposite of the stipulations. Undertaker wins, he retires. Shane McMahon loses, he's the Raw GM. I mean, you know, temporarily, if anything. And the authority's gone. So, what happened? Like, I'm not complaining because how much of a breath of fresh air was it to have an actual face authority figure?
Well, that's the other weird thing just about the situation is they haven't really said that the authority's done at this point. Yeah. They keep on making a point that it's a week-to-week thing, and I don't know why. It's just that probably too much wrestling fan in me. It's just like, is this going to be able to keep up?
Yeah, that's pretty fair because SmackDown was good last week.
Well, I even think that Raw last week was good. The crowd was shitting on some matches that they shouldn't have shit on, honestly.
True. Yeah. I think that's what took away from it.
I think what's helping is just the fact that you're getting, one, good matches, two, they're giving weight and importance to the matches, and then three is how they're booking people. Like, they're booking Roman Reigns as like this asshole tweener, which works for Roman Reigns. Like, they're not even bothering. Like, it's the first time I can remember them acknowledging people booing him as a babyface. Like, they went out and said, like, you know, Roman Reigns is out here, and there's a lot of people in the fan base, the WWE universe, that doesn't like him. I've never heard them say that about a babyface champ. Even when John Cena here, the whole thing was, oh, he's controversial, and everyone has an opinion. Like, John Cena might say something, but you never heard Michael Cole say anything. Like, so to hear them actually say that was like a breath of fresh air. Like, we all know, you might as well acknowledge it and make it work.
I kind of like the thing with Roman Reigns by doing that tweener thing. If you like him, cool. He's gonna, you know, like you back, I guess. And if you don't, well, he's not gonna like you. Unlike John Cena, who's out there saying, you know, you guys are allowed to voice your opinion that's blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, no. Roman Reigns is like, screw you guys. All right, cool. Everyone who wants to cheer, I like that better than the whole, well, gee, shucks, you guys can say whatever you want. And it kind of fits Roman Reigns way better, too, doesn't it?
Definitely. Because, I mean, just look at him. He looks like that kind of super confident asshole. So he should act that way. Like, you know, he's the Rock with longer hair and lighter eyes. And the Rock never worked when he was trying to be nice. He worked being a dickhead. So yeah, let Roman Reigns do that. Let him talk for 30 seconds. And just say, like, I'm Roman Reigns, I'm the man, and come out here, I'm gonna beat your ass. That never fails in wrestling. Like, that's always worked if you can back it up in the ring, so do it.
Well, yeah, it's just kind of funny. That's how a lot of the, you know, heels ended up getting popular, honestly, because Randy Orton got popular that way. You know, they just kind of ended up backing it up. I'm trying to think of some other examples in the recent past, because I know there's more than just Orton.
Well, look at Kevin Owens.
Oh.
He doesn't do anything but bad guy mannerisms, talks a bunch of shit, and people still cheer for him. I mean, he even got the crowd to boo Shane McMahon last night. So, yeah, he'd be like a recent one, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah. Like, the only reason he's booed at all is because he does cowardly stuff. He does enough stuff as a heel so he's not completely chair. Because yeah, he can easily be a badass babyface because it's his whole thing. It's like, I don't look normal. I'm not here to play games. I'm a prize fighter. And he's got that whole anything. But he does enough like asshole stuff like taking count out losses and, you know, beating up Sami Zayn where, okay, now I don't know why I boo him because he's a jerk.
Yeah.
He does just enough to be unlikable.
That was one of my favorite parts last night. And I guess there could be some criticism, but like Shane McMahon getting in his face, or him getting in Shane McMahon's face after the loss, and then he tells Shane McMahon, well, what'd I do to Sami Zayn's on your head? And he's like, well, no, get out of here. It's like, wait a minute, a wrestler told somebody their plan, and the person in the authority figure didn't act like put off.
Well,
he actually did something about it for a change.
I think the problem more times is that a lot of times they'll toss somebody out, but then you get the inevitable "I bought a ticket," which is completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Or they just end up coming back in an ambulance, or you know, a beer truck. Or sneak back in, you know, and just to me, it was more the fact that Owen stayed away more than he got taken away, because it always seems to happen to baby. Well, I guess that is the other thing, is it tends to happen to the baby face against the heel authority, and they always find a way to come back in to try and get their retribution.
Yeah. Well, you know, Austin made that famous. There's different ways of getting in. But yeah, I don't know. I just like the face authority figure. I mean, he even gave us like babyface versus babyface matches, which turned out to be good. I don't know. They kind of gave the tag team tournament credit to the New Day somehow, which was kind of strange. But then it's like everything, I don't know. Maybe this is just like buying into the story where Shane McMahon's doing everything right, but it's just kind of weird because now the writing staff is like, are they just saying, all right, give these guys a break? Yeah. So we're going to, Cesaro's on TV, we're pushing Kevin Owens. And, you know, even in a loss, wouldn't we have been complaining before?
Yeah, but it's like, it made sense because one, they, you know, like we can talk about the Kevin Owens Cesaro match. It's like, Shane was right. It's like, you know, you lost two matches in a row. Why should you get a title shot? Like, you lost to Mania, you lost last week, you run it beating people up. It was like, it's not how it works, you gotta earn it. And bringing out Cesaro, who people like, and keeps getting pushes, and stop pushing and pushes again. And now his new thing is kind of, you know, they had the James Bond silhouette. You know, and I didn't catch it at first, because I was watching, I was like, oh, okay, this is something slick, because, you know, the whole, I got the suit on, roll up the sleeves, take the suit off, got the Cesaro section shirt, which that tells you something, that before they were doing that Cesaro section stuff and they would acknowledge it, they were really pushing it. Yeah, the t-shirt saying it now, so it's like, we're going to go ahead and go with it. And they had a great match, and he won clean, even though he was hurt. And then they gave way to it, like they showed replays two or three times. They had him interact with the Miz, or it felt like they made that match seem important. They made the aftermath of that match seem important, and you want to see what's going forward. That was like the story of the show.
Yeah. Because even the AJ Styles Sami Zayn match had the build up, had the match, had the aftermath. And it's like, this is. Isn't it? It's kind of weird. This is just basic stuff, but it seems so new on Raw or SmackDown, though.
Well,
this is what NXT's been doing.
They did tend to do that on SmackDown a little bit more, but they just have so little action compared to Raw that it's hard to judge, in my opinion, at least.
True. Just think about the whole thing we talked about. Like, AJ Styles wrestled Sami Zayn and whoever for, like, a number one contendership for the title. The WWE title. And it's one WWE title. Just think about that sentence for like a second. And they weren't talking about them being short and indie geeks. Like, they made both people seem important. They gave both of them time. They finally started letting AJ Styles talk. And like, who would have thought a year ago you would have had that? Like, I still can't. Even though I've watched it with my own eyes and I see how different WWE's changing, I still can't wrap my head around the fact that that actually happened. They gave it weight, like it's I'm flabbergasted.
Look at who's on the show this year, or this week. Well, Cesaro's back in a predominant role. I would say that's predominant, even though he lost in the main event last week. It was still, you know, big return. He didn't take the pinfall. Kevin Owens, who people have been cheering and wanting more of, there's more of him on the show. Sami Zayn, AJ Styles. We just got done talking about TNA. Who would have thought he'd even be in WWE, let alone the number one contender? for what's the next one? Payback, right?
Payback or Backlash or whatever it's called.
Yeah. And then you've got tag teams being featured. It just seems weird. And I think Kevin, you said it's like how long can this last? Like, you know, I guess just we need to soak up in the happiness now.
There definitely is always that with wrestling. But I guess it's nice because I've been at least saying that to me, the wrestling recently has been as good as I've seen it in a long time. And just to have, storylines that make sense built around that is kind of nice. Like, I mean, even kind of most of their jobbers are pretty good wrestlers.
Yeah, I just think what helps is they're not, the people that are like in spots now aren't really taking too many spots because, you know, we talked about injuries and stuff. Like, the only like big ones now, like John Cena and Randy Orton. And who knows, you know, like when John Cena, he'll be the main event as he should be. Randy Orton, who knows? But it's not like, you know, these guys are kind of like placeholders. It's like the fans get behind them. And like the women's match, like the whole Natalya thing, I thought that was just, you know, some placeholder program. And they spent about 3 segments building that match up. Like the whole thing with Dr. Phil saying, you know, Charlotte, you're better than this. You don't need Ric Flair to cheat. You know, stop letting your daddy fight your fights for, like, all the things that people kind of said. If it's a storyline, like Charlotte says how she's better than everybody, but Ric Flair's out there cheating. And he's basically calling it out. And then they have the match with Natalya. Like, Natalya is, yes, I'm like, I'm with you, Kevin. I can't stand her personally. Total Divas just turned me off to her to no end, so she will never have my sympathy. But she can wrestle her ass off. And that's never been the day. And they had good chemistry. Like, she was doing, like, MMA ground stuff, and it worked. And then the ending work was like, you know, Natalya was going to win, Flair cheated, and now you want to see them have another match.
She cheated, well, she cheated and she tapped out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, wait a minute. And I can't remember what show I was listening to, but it was like, it was legit, like, upset the babyface got screwed in this case. And the Dr. Phil stuff was fine. I mean, the guy's a tool anyways. So didn't that kind of fit? I mean, if he would have came off all cool or whatever, but like, wait, what?
Yeah, they used him perfectly, even with the stupid Golden Truth stuff. Like, he just walks into that segment and just goes, and just shakes his head and leaves.
Yeah. The guy that never gives up or quits on anything just goes, nah, not even worth my time. So... Hey, just so you know, TNA, for the first time ever, is releasing an AJ Styles collection. 12 hours of AJ Styles matches.
Man, how about that? I'll wait for the WWE. I'll wait a year from now when WWE buys the locker and have the best of AJ Styles.
Yeah, but it's on the network. I guess that'll be the conversation for later when TNA finally goes out. How quickly WWE will buy that library up.
Well, or how cheaply.
Yeah, and, true.
And this is how much I was not interested in watching TNA. I decided to flip on Ring of Honor instead of TNA.
Oh, I turned on Critters too. So, yeah. El Rey is your friend. So,
yes, can we talk about... You know one thing I'm surprised about? I'm surprised it took this. Like, I never thought I'd see her back, but I'm glad she's back. Maurice being on WWE TV. Like, I know we make that joke, like, her and Miz have been married happily, it seems, for years. I don't know how, but like I said, God bless both of them. They work, like, as a whole, because Maurice always come off as this obnoxious pain in the ass. Like, you know, she might be great to look at, but I would never date her in a million years because I would want to strangle her. But Miz is just so oblivious and so arrogant where just, you know, water rolls. You know, it's like water off a duck's back. He's there with the damn cucumber slices on his ear, on his eyes. You know, this sitting here listening. She's arguing about the M&Ms. And then he comes in like, you know, I drive an Audi R8. That's simple. Like, that car costs like $160,000. Just a simple line like that. Like, you know, I'm not stressing anything because I'm the Miz and I'm whatever. And then they have Cesaro come in, you know, let him talk. You know, he didn't talk long. He just talked, you know, 30 seconds. You know, clown Miz a little bit and say, you know, I'm looking forward to getting your belt and see. Something simple like that just makes the match important and makes you want to actually see the Miz fight Cesaro for the belt.
Again, it's that small, effective stuff. Like, anybody. I don't know what just happened. So, you guys couldn't hear it, I could. So, you guys talk. I need to go see what just happened, so I'll be back in a second.
Okay. I'm not go, ahead just, go ahead and get your steps in.
I was so ready for him to go on some other tangent and then respond to that. I think I had momentarily lost where we were. Maurice being a pain in the ass. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I remember seeing them at Emeralds at WrestleMania 30, and she wanted nothing to do with wrestling fans, even though I was showered and dressed appropriately.
Well, seeing some of the people we've seen, I can't really blame her too much. So, especially if it's in a WrestleMania crowd, because I listened to your guy recaps and I talked to Jerry about it. He was saying, especially with NXT, the amount of large people that seemed to watch that show was kind of astounding. And I'm like, yeah, I've seen plenty. Like, I've seen remote shirts worn by people who had no business wearing that shirt. Like, I look like an idiot because it was stretched so damn much. So, yeah. But she fits, like I say, you know, that's a good couple. And she, it's funny, like, they're a real-life couple, but a lot of times real-life couples don't have chemistry. And she's an awesome heel character, but I remember when she was with Ted DiBiase, and that died on the vine because they act like they didn't want anything to do with each other.
Oh. Yeah, I'm trying to think of, because was she really paired with anyone?
Just him.
Yeah, because that's it. I guess I don't feel like she's ever been used as that kind of a valet.
No.
So,
she had those bathtub skits for like a year and a half. Then she was on TV. She wrestled. She had some interaction with The Miz before they even got together, which kind of is funny in hindsight. Then she got injured. Then she came back as like the valet for Ted DiBiase, and then she left and got married.
Yeah. So, it freshens The Miz up. Cesaro would be one of those guys that I think could at least help out with the prominence of the U.S. title. I don't know if they are thinking that along those lines or not. But, I mean, The Miz just even being a fresh character is really just another one of those touches that Raw has done in the meantime. Like, it wasn't groundbreaking to bring on his wife, but it's really helped out. A character who'd been, I mean, he's been stale for a couple of years at this point.
I mean, he's been, when you reach the heights he's reached and he wasn't really like a superstar, it's only one way he can go. It's like, he was in the main event of WrestleMania where The Rock was involved, but he's not like a star where you can see him doing that year in, year out. So, where else could he go? Like, besides doing, you know, WWE movies and stuff and the same old, same old. And I don't know. Like, it's just something weird with The Miz. Like, I still can't look at him past being a guy from the real world saying one day he's going to be a wrestler. because it's like he's competent in a ring, but I never thought he was good in a ring. He never seemed like a tough guy, but I mean, he fits a role, so use him that way. Kudos to him. I never paid on somebody that's, you know, as a job.
I guess I see the point, but it always seems like even in those kinds of situations, I feel like they could use their talent more effectively sometimes. And I just think freshening up his character is helping out.
Definitely. You know, because like that level, Intercontinental Champion level, upper mid-card, that's perfect for him because he can do that fine and he's believable in that. Make him any more, it's kind of like, you know, believability goes out the window. But he's earned enough where him doing less seems like a waste.
Yeah, and I definitely think that he'd been on the less side for the most part recently.
Okay, I'm back.
I mean,
what are we talking about?
I was just going to say, I feel like the last time The Miz won a feud, it was with Damian Sandow.
That's fair, yeah. I think that is, right?
More or less, because, like, that stuff with Neville really didn't go, like, Neville was basically beating him, and then it really kind of never went anywhere, and Neville got hurt.
Yeah, and didn't the Sandow stuff was last year after WrestleMania. Then Miz disappeared to make a movie or something, right?
Probably.
Yeah. Marine, he did like another Marine and a Sam movie.
Yeah.
He's been in quite a few WWE movies. Speaking of, I know it's a little... I want to see that. Who is that star? Is that Dolph Ziggler? Or
no.
Who is it?
It's the Dolph. One? No.
Yeah, just because that's in the name of me. Like, I want to see when the script had them so Rusev is there and wrestling tights with a gun pulling out on Dolph Ziggler. I want to see how they got to that point.
Oh, I'll hang on. I have the clip still saved from the last show I did with Kevin, and we talked about that. That was one of the WrestleMania previews, I believe. Let me see. Yes. Yep, still here. Hang on. Let me see.
Come on, you can't bring this to a grinding halt, sir.
Well, yeah, I can't because I paid $900 for a laptop. That's a total piece of garbage 2 years later. And, I mean, maybe it's my viewing habits that have probably slowed this thing down, but I'm going to...
Sounds like you bought a Sin Cara.
So what the hell happened with Kalisto last night? Was that a concussion?
No, they said Meltzer said it would work. But it was just weird because it looked real. Like, and the match seemed clunky after it happened. Like, you know, we gonna do, like, he heard them calling spots. And, like, Bubba Ray's never been the most fire one. Like, I heard him say, okay, D-Bow, whip him in for the 3D. Like, wow. So.
I wonder if this is just going to be the start of Sin Cara and Kalisto breaking up. Like, Sin Cara's getting mad because Kalisto's, you know, wrestling the U as the United States champion, and they're losing matches as the Lucha Dragons. Which I don't know if that's a good idea, but I can see that's where it's going. I mean, logically, it would make sense. Pissed off at him not being there and him being jealous of his success. So, yeah.
I'm sorry. I just clicked this link you said.
Yep.
Just see him in tights and wrestling boots pulling a cat out on Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
I'm like, see, I shouldn't be too surprised because I watched Lucha Underground, but I'm like, that works. It just seems weird when it's not Lucha Underground.
Well, yeah, it's not Lucha Underground, and it's an actual medium-budget movie. I think I ragged on it because it looked really bad. But then I guess it's supposed to be taken from a bunch of different cameras, cell phone, security camera, this and this and this. So I have to, you know, excuse it from that. But yeah, it, whatever.
Yeah,
we're talking about the good of wrestling right now. Did you guys cover Gallows and Anderson, by the way?
No, we're waiting for you to come back.
Oh, okay.
You made your debut when we wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. And the crowd actually knew who they were, which is even better. So,
well, I think the WWE is kind of finding out that their own audience knows about these guys already.
And it helped that they pushed, like, they had that little article on WWE.com talking about them. Like, yeah. You know, these guys, and hearing Michael Cole say they were 3-time IWGP Tag Team Champions. I was like, oh, you know, really? I knew that. I didn't think he was going to say that, Michael Cole, because I'm still used to that. You know, they came from the minor leagues, they came from the indies. I guess if it's not TNA and ROH, they don't mind mentioning it, but they made a big deal out of both of them. You heard, you know, Bullet Club chants, and I heard of Carl Anderson. I've never really seen him. Like, him and Gallows are imposing. Like, they look like two big bald badasses. And like, the Usos aren't necessarily, like, small either, but they look small next to those two, man. They went in, did their business, left. JBL's losing his mind, talking about how awesome they were. I know Kevin in his recap saying, if they were so mad, why did he beat up his Usos? Usos didn't do anything wrong. It's like, do you ever need a reason to beat up Samoans?
Yeah, I suppose you don't need a reason to beat up Samoans, but it kind of hit me, and I probably would have put this in a revised column if I had done that today. I kind of like what they're doing with the Usos. Like, they know that they can't, they want to keep them away from the titles for whatever reason. And they're using them as the stepping stool to being a good team. Because of all their goodwill, honestly.
Yeah. Well, they're away from the titles because kind of the New Day kind of basically... They've changed the careers of probably 3 tag teams because being a heel team that's popular, it ruined what happened with the Usos, it ruined basically what happened with the Dudleys and the Lucha Dragons. So that is kind of like, you don't want, if the Usos wrestle the New Day now, face versus face, I guess you could do it now. But before, it just seemed like you didn't want to have a face versus heel team, the heel team was more popular. So that's what happened to the Usos.
The Usos also had that string of bad luck, too, where they would, you know, start getting popular, like, more popular than they are, and then one would get hurt, which always kills your momentum, because I think when, which one got hurt last time, was it Jimmy?
I believe so.
And then just Jay was just totally off TV, and he was doing commentary.
Well, that was the most involved somebody's been when their twin is out of action. Well, I mean, I guess the Bellas later on split up a little bit more, but, you know, I thought that was at least a half-decent use of him because it kept him on TV. And he was good at it. Like, I enjoyed him on there.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I don't think the Russos lack for charisma. I think they lack for the amount of time they give them to actually talk on the shows, which is too bad, but... Wasn't there one time that one of them talked? I think New Day even started making fun of the fact that they were talking. So
yeah, because they never like they. It's funny when they first came in WWE when they were heels with Tamina, they talked. It's that whole thing like we're not your stereotypical Samoans. You know, we're getting your scholarship money. We're getting jobs and all like that whole thing. And that lasts for like a month, and then they do the face paint on, and you never heard them talk. But then Total Divas came on, and it's like okay. They can talk well. You saw like backstage WWE stuff, like DVDs, like they had personality, and they finally showed it on TV. It's like the same thing like when Kalisto cut a promo. It's like, oh, I didn't know that. I look at them differently.
Yeah. All right. I say this all the time. It's John is the one that's on Total Divas, and then he's. Jay? Right? John's on Total Divas, and then Jay's, that's his name is Jay on WWE, right?
I think so.
I think.
I still can't. Like, they've been around for how long, and I couldn't honestly tell you about looking on Wikipedia.
Well, Kevin, you pointed out at WrestleMania on one of the shows that they're actually doing stuff to differentiate them now.
Well,
they have like a slightly different color set and whatever else, but
yeah, it was easier to tell them apart when they wore different color leggings recently.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've just switched to doing their shoes, and it's just like, oh god, I don't want to look at your shoes all match long.
Yeah, you're not. That's not your moneymaker unless you got some sort of endorsement thing. Which I can't believe Naomi still doesn't have something going on with those shoes, but whatever. But going back to Anderson and Gallows, though, we mentioned them and then started talking about the Usos. So I didn't get the feeling that the Usos were beaten down so bad that Gallows and Anderson are going to take their place, which wouldn't make sense anyways, really. But it's, where do you go from there? And the one thing, they did leave of their own accord. I really did like Anderson just going, hey, just relax. Relax. Like, the two guys that just jumped out of the crowd, attacked the babyface tag teams, babyface tag team left them laying, has the nerve to tell security, the security guys to calm down.
Yeah, they're looking like that. Like, two big ball guys that, you know, just came in and beat up your wrestlers and you don't know who they were. It's like, we're okay, calm down, relax. I'm like, yeah, that's not how it works in real life. But
yeah.
I think it's a chuckle out of that.
Yeah, it would have actually been better if they would have tried to pepper spray him or something. And they blew it off and just ran. But this way, they just attacked and then casually just walked back to their seat, I guess. So that was a little goofy, but it was still cool to see him. When was the last time you had, like, something... I guess I'll call this a major debut. What if we had, like, a major debut on a show where you weren't expecting it?
I guess Brock Lesnar.
Well, that was actually a Monday after WrestleMania.
Yeah, but I know that's like a Monday after WrestleMania, but I remember when he first came. It wasn't like the whole thing now, like, you know, you expect people to come after Monday after WrestleMania, like big names and stuff. Like, now it's expected. Then it's more like you expect new storylines. It wasn't the whole, like, Raw after Mania, and then you see this big dude, because it was like, I still remember that, it was like some hardcore match. And you see this big muscle-bound gorilla with Paul Heyman just powerbombing the crap out of everybody.
Yeah, poor Spike Dudley.
Yes, so. Yeah. But, yeah, like, kind of unexpected, because it was, you know, it was the Monday after Mania. So it was kind of like, okay, we had the big call-ups. You're not expecting it. You heard about it, but you're wondering where they were. And then all of a sudden they pop up. And I know me and you talked about, like, saying, where did they go? But one, it helps that they kept their names. Like, they're still Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. They're not, you know, Carl Roberts and Luke Simpson or some nonsense like that. They have talked about them being in a faction with AJ Styles and Finn Balor. So they talked about that in WWE.com. All four of those people are there. So if you want to put three of them together, if you want to put all four of them together, if you want to do something, can always do it. Like, that's there and it's known, and they don't have the trademarks of Bullet Club, but they got Balor Club, so
yeah.
If they want to do that, they can do it.
Could you imagine the collective freak out? Alright, because you got Payback. You got Payback coming up. You got AJ Styles against Roman Reigns. So there's a seed planted there. You know, if you want a fantasy book, whatever else, you know, go on, you know, exactly what I said I don't like doing, just in case it doesn't happen, which it probably won't. But you got AJ Styles going against Roman Reigns for the title. Then you got Gallows and Anderson laying out somewhere. And they've already shown NXT guys can show up, so who's to say, like, what would it take for Vince, especially, because this is, you know, Roman's his project, for him to go, let's shock everybody, have Anderson and Gallows interfere. That doesn't exactly work out, but then you got Finn Balor interferes and AJ Styles wins the title. Like, how insane would that be?
Can you imagine that, like, the Monday after that on Raw, if you had Finn Balor with the NXT title and AJ Styles with the WWE title and Anderson and Gallows there talking about we're Balor Club, like, yeah, all them fat nerds would have a damn stroke.
So, I mean, that would be, even thinking about that, it's hard to wrap your head around. Because none of those guys are your typical WWE, you know, wrestler.
Yeah, not, but the,
except
but
Gallows.
The,
yeah, well, I would say that Anderson and Gallows are typical WWE. At least size-wise, looks, I think, kind of looks-wise.
Well, Anderson's not that big. Like, he's not that tall.
No, but he's a big guy. And I've seen him wrestle the last few years on Ring of Honor. And I really, I like his work. And I've seen, well, and I've mentioned, I guess, a couple of times, the Wrestle Kingdom, so I've seen him on there, too. It just, having that team in there, I don't know if they can find time for four teams, but, I mean, they really should be able to do that at this point with those guys. The Usos, New Day. Even if you break up Lucha Dragons, I think that they have enough people hanging around to...
No, the new age outlaws.
Oh,
yeah, oh yeah, God, I've got Enzo and Cass already.
Yeah, who have done well enough so far that they've gotten on Steve Austin's podcast twice.
Oh, did you listen to that? The second one.
Yeah.
All right, Cass starts singing "Oh Sherry" at the end.
Yes.
I didn't expect that at all.
Especially the high pitch.
Yes, and being able to hold the note.
Yeah. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, they've even made the Dudleys kind of relevant again just by allowing them to be bad guys, which was kind of nice. Because I've liked the interplay between those two, even if it's only 2 weeks. Because you got, you know, Enzo just freaking out doing all this stuff, and you got Bubba just standing there like, another one of these sort of guys. Like, they've seen it all. They're not that hard pressed. But then you got Devin, which that cracked me up. Devin sitting there freaking out on the side. Bubba's like, come on, really? Just cut it out.
Because you know in real life, like, what Ray Dudley hates people like Enzo. Like,
he just
wanted to strangle him in real life. But like, he can get away with it.
Could you imagine, like, Enzo and Cass in ECW? Like, once the Dudleys were established? Oof. But we've got another successful, like, tag team feud. Then you got the two guys that just came in. I guess they're going to start with the Usos, so there's a tag team feud. We have two tag team feuds, and we don't even have anyone feuding with the champions. That's just crazy.
And not even talking about the Vaude villains also being on SmackDown. Like, yeah, like, we have legit tag teams. And we have, and it helps to where the tag team champions are over and you got enough directions where you have options. Like, just the fact that we're talking about this, like, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows on WWE TV. And the Vaude villains, I did not think the Vaude villains would ever be on WWE, like, main. Because I always thought that was something like a gimmick that it works on NXT, but now I didn't see it like translating. So for them to get the call was kind of surprising. I'm curious to see how it works. I'm like, if they just push him as guys that can wrestle and keep him on SmackDown and have him on Raw and have JBL cracking jokes, it may work.
Well, the King kind of buried him. not buried him, but. He did say, like, what is the whole thing of being black and white? Like, what's going on? That sort of thing. But it didn't bother me all that much. I thought the Vaude villains were going to look really stupid, and they didn't, which was kind of a surprise. And then they had a backstage segment that was for WWE.com only, and it was weird hearing them talk because they didn't really say a whole lot. In NXT, and they didn't sound out of place. I mean, they got their, you know, their scripted lines down pretty good. So, It's I guess, you know, they always call the crowds, this is Bizarro Land, but right now we're, I mean, I know it's only been 1 week later. Well, I'll give it a week and a half with SmackDown and going back to Raw too, whatever. But, yeah, I know. Nice backstory. But no, it's like, what's going on here? For as bad as, as uninspiring as the lead up to WrestleMania was, now all of a sudden we're getting a kind of like a another gear coming out of WrestleMania.
Which is usually not the case. Usually it's reversed. Like this, you get geared up to WrestleMania, you have that Raw after, and it's like a calm down thing. And like this one, they's like, okay, all the stuff you complained about leading to Mania, we're gonna fix it. Like, and you're talking about weird. We haven't even talked about how weird the main event was.
Oh my God, you're right.
Because who does think about Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt as a tag team in the main event? Like, you have your world champion that's a tweener that's probably more hated than love. You have a heel that's love. You have Alberto Del Rio that's a heel that's loved in L.A. Because keep in mind, L.A. has a large Latino population, like a large wrestling population. And they like Alberto Del Rio. And then Sheamus, whatever. Like, I'll see you in Ninja Turtles too. But just having them, like, seeing Bray Wyatt get the hot tag and have a baby face comeback is just hilarious.
The fact that they didn't even tease Dissension was the part that got me. You had that part at the end when Roman was going to make the hot tag, if you will, and there was a little bit of a pause, and Roman, like, finally tagged in Bray Wyatt. But that was really it. It was kind of a straightforward thing. Like, weren't these guys, like, 2 years ago, they were beating the hell out of each other, and then he just feuded with, like, your best friend at the end of last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, remember that. Anybody but Roman. Like, that wasn't that long ago when they were feuding.
Yeah. But it worked. Somehow it worked. And my favorite part was the end of the match. Who did Bray pin? Sheamus? Yeah. Or whoever's getting pinned. And then out of the corner of his eye, Bray just points to the side as Roman spears Alberto. Didn't even look, just pointed over like, yep. Where does this chemistry come from? Like,
you know why it worked? Because they didn't pretend to be friends. Like, he cut that promo, like, you know, blah, 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 here's the world, but this one night, whatever. And they wrestled like, you know, we ain't friends, but we can be a team, and we can work together. Like, we both, it's that whole, like, you know, respect thing for this one night. Because, you know, at the end, they had to stare down, like, you know, don't think we're going to be a tag team. But it's just weird seeing them, that thought process. Like, cause normally you have those teams where it's like, you know, opposite attracts and enemies as team. There's some convoluted stuff. Like, I've seen playing that Randy Orton John Cena crap, where they hate each other and they forced to be a tag team. This one, they made it make sense because they had, you know, issues. Like, Roman Reigns came out, talked this stuff, and Shane basically, you know, because just remember, the League of Nations came to jump him, and then the Wyatts came to, I'm not saying save Roman Reigns, but they end up saving Roman Reigns. So Shane is like, you know, we're going to have a match later. Work it out.
I mean, it kind of makes sense. If the Wyatts are supposed to be from the Deep South, they weren't going to like foreigners. So I totally understand why they're going to fight the League of Nations. It makes sense. I think the only problem with the Bray Wyatt face turn, I guess, does anyone really want to cheer for Braun Strowman? Or really even...
Eric Rowan.
Thank you. I kept wanting to say Eric Harper, but that's just for me wanting Luke Harper to come back early. But
yeah, that really sucks for Luke Harper. That guy cannot catch a break.
Yeah, well, in my fantasy booking mind, I already have his return planned out. It's pretty basic. Bray's the big fan favorite. Luke comes back, takes Eric and Braun, and is like, we don't know what you're doing, and they attack him. And then we can have a badass feud with Luke Harper and Bray Wyatt.
Basically,
just to get Luke going too, that would be great. Yeah. So,
but you know, it just fit into what we said about the show. Like, Even when it seemed weird, they did enough explanation for it to make sense. And it helped that all the ring work was, you know, up to par. And that's something we kind of take for granted, because I know people talk about the house days, how it always used to be. I've been rewatching the Raws, and I'm like halfway through 98. Those matches sucked. I'm just going to tell you right now. Your memory played tricks on you for the most part. The wrestling on those Raws sucked ass. Like, the, you know, it had a lot of great promos, it had a lot of great skits. I learned a lot of stuff that I must have either didn't remember or remember differently about a lot of people. But the wrestling, like, if I see one more Brian Christopher match, I'm going to shoot myself. So, yeah, so now, like, I will take this Raw now when you have, instead of having Brian Christopher and a bunch of midgets and Jeff Jarrett on a horse, I have Sami Zayn wrestling AJ Styles. I have Cesaro wrestling Kevin Owens. You know, I got Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns in the tag team. Like, we didn't even talk about the whole Jericho-Dean Ambrose thing. Like, it's good matches with good workers, and they give it a story, and it always works.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to what Jeremy said really to start it all off. It's so basic, but for some reason it's a revelation when the WWE gets a basic right.
Because they're writing out of their own way. Like, okay, we're just going to do this nice and easy thing. It's just so much better. I don't know. It also helps that we don't have an evil authority figure taking up so much time. You're letting the wrestlers breathe and do their own shit. I think that's pretty good, too. So, but, whatever. I got distracted there because I got to my favorite part of Critters 2. So, have you guys seen Critters 2, by the way? Do you guys remember this movie?
No.
I remember it. I don't remember if I saw it. If I did, I don't remember the details.
Okay, so the aliens, you know, the critters, the people who are the bounty hunters that come down to Earth to get rid of them. Well, the one bounty hunter is kind of an exomorph. Just there's no shape to it. And, of course, after they land, they find a Playboy in the middle of the road. So the one pervert alien guy goes and grabs the Playboy, goes right to the centerfold, and says, "This is great reading." So the shapeless alien turns into the centerfold. Centerfold apparently has super tits because the shirt and the pants and everything blow open. So this alien now turns into this beautiful nude centerfold. And those titties still hold up. This movie was made in 85, I believe. And yes, this, I guess we can end the show with this if we want. 88? What? Wow. I didn't realize I made this bad of movies then. But anyways.
That cocaine didn't run out until about 92. So.
Is this one of those? It's got to be that company. That doesn't say. But yeah. But anyways, yeah, so. Just shocked those titties hold up. Because, you know, those 1980s titties, it's when they first got the bad implants.
So they were just early 80s. If this is yeah. 80s, it's probably like second batch, mid to late 80s. So.
But yeah, so. Critters 2, everyone. Trust me. It's well worth it. So. They got it right, just like WWE is getting it right. And TNA can't figure out how to get it right.
Ever.
Yeah. What a way to end the show.
Yep.
Full circle at TNA.
You literally in this case.
Yeah, titties that don't work, TNA. So.
The wrestlers do, but those titties controlling the company don't. Yep.
Okie dokie. For at DeFrango 11, at Granny Mays, at Shaw Farm D. For the brand at Stunt Granny, everybody have a good night.